from the Arctic Circle to the Great Lake Water. This land was made for you and me.
There you go. Some rousing music. Apropos, this is the Taylor Report. I want to just tell you again that this is still June, and you can still donate online at www.ciut.fm. We want to thank all of our wonderful listeners for the support to the station. It's great and it's heartfelt, and we really are fortunate. You can call. Go into the call business. Go to CIUT.fm. When you do donate, mention the Taylor Report. And there's a lot of disturbing news here at the moment. I hope our listeners will realize that the headlines are not terribly helpful, because the formula for solving the crises, whether it be Gaza or Ukraine, is in the background, because it takes international cooperation to solve a problem. And as we say on the program frequently, the notion that all roads lead to Washington is the one that is poisoning everything. We have the United Nations, we have the UN Charter, and many people express frustration saying, oh, UN doesn't do enough. But it's not the UN's fault. It's if you have a great power arrangement where one great power tells us, and it's the only one that says this, that it is exceptional and that it is number one, that they are talking in violation of the principles of the UN. And when they say, well, we have to solve this problem in Ukraine, and Washington is the only place that it can be solved, you realize that what we are is in Canada or Congo, Gaza, Ukraine, we are a domestic issue for the U.S. because the appearance of power, the authority of the number one nation, is really what is key in the eyes of the number one power. So this is, in our view, the key to the issue. And if you look at the Gaza matter, for example, which couldn't be more tragic and every day becomes more, there's an erosion of international participation. We have the UNRWA, where the aid, the food that is being denied now to the people of Gaza, with the prime support of the U.S. and the government of Israel, this was all in violation of the international agreement as to how aid to that population was to be provided. And so now we have a situation where, say, 6 months ago, we were talking, and we had experts on the Taylor Report talking about it, where they were saying that the key is United Nations relief, which is an established body, international credentials. But since the assault under that slogan coming out of the mouth of the defense minister in Israel, saying there will be no food, there will be no water, there will be no electricity. They, despite the language, what they the attacking state began to deprive by force people from basic necessities, and they accused UNHCR of having personnel that were Hamas supporters, which, by the way, is actually a non-issue because it's been forgotten, but the Hamas was the elected leadership of Gaza, personnel employed to do basic services for the society, could inevitably by anybody be labeled as Hamas, but that is absurd because you have people who provide medical care, you have people who, it is a society with personnel and a government. So this canard was used by the State of Israel, and it was echoed in Canada. The Canadian government, for a period of time, cut off aid to the United Nations Relief Agency. And while they reversed themselves, at least nominally, I'm not able to look into the account to see how the money is moving. But that began a fatal retreat from duties, responsibilities of UNHCR, and it was permitted to be challenged and attacked. Of course, its personnel, they lost hundreds of people have died there who all their work was relief and assistance work, to the point now where we have what you might call a Trump solution, which is to privatize everything. And there is allegedly an organization. It is to provide care, but it has armed personnel. It's completely out of the hands of international agencies, and instead is part of the occupation, violent occupation of Gaza, all completely in contradiction to the responsibilities undertaken by the international community. So this is, again, let's just underline, we're talking about the problem of all roads leading to Washington. And if that's how international affairs are going to continue, you can calculate ahead that as bad as the situation is today, it's going to be much worse, and I would say, and soon. It's not going to be a long time unfolding, because if with the U.S. assuming more and more responsibility and asserting itself, saying that it would be it's going to be the master of every situation, the resistance to that is going to grow. Whatever the evolution of this loss of the state of Syria, the destruction of democratic system in Lebanon, the destruction of Gaza as it had previously existed, all this is going to continue to deteriorate. So on this theme, I want to say, mention that I'm very happy to have been asked to participate in a forum addressing the issue of trade wars and how they can lead to real wars. And since I was part of the job was make an introductory remarks. I figured I may as well share what I had to say at the meeting with the listeners to the Taylor Report. And it has to do with this meeting of, just to set the frame, of how Canada now is going to define itself or be defined by its relations to Washington. So here's my speech. It brace yourselves. It's very short. The rise of Donald Trump, with his trade-smashing tariffs and belligerent rhetoric, has people everywhere on edge. Casually, he says to our prime minister, Canada should become the 51st state. And that drew the curious reply, Canada's not for sale. Prime Minister forgot or didn't notice that Donald Trump didn't offer to buy it. He means to take it. So it says, time for Canadians, and especially working class and organized labor, to be on alert, asking questions about the direction Trump is taking us, and it is time to find our voices and challenge old assumptions. An example of why, last week, the Globe and Mail reported that a group of U.S. senators met with Carney, and they were referred to as Canada-friendly. We were supposed to be very happy. These senators didn't want to take us, and they were friendly. And Senator Kevin Cramer, he's from North Dakota, Senator Cramer described as close to the president, announced, it is a new day. It is a new day. Donald Trump is a transformational president. You have a transformational, and you have a transformational prime minister. Two business guys. This is, he's being quoted here. Two business guys. They know business. They know how to work a deal, which means, I suppose, that they intend to give us the business. Oligarchs know best. And here's where tariff wars and real wars come in. Senator Cramer said the tariffs on Canada could go away. They could go away if we agree that China is the number one threat to North America. He, by the way, he lamely called China, there's a Globe quoted him, he called China and our common adversity, which is curious grammar. Language of this kind demands attention and debate. Why? Because Trump, who threatens to wipe out our auto industry and annex the country, announces that Canada wants to be part of his magic golden dome. And the prime minister says, yes, we need to be part of this bizarre scheme, which will put missiles in outer space, all unilaterally, without treaties, inviting a new arms race, as in Dr. Strangelove. It will be Trump's dome and Trump's missiles, but we would have input, says the prime minister. Trump is the least trusted man on the planet, but we would have input. Again, what is the dome to do? It is to provide a continental defense. Continental defense. Here is where the business guys seem to have missed something. Canadian workers who hail from around the globe know that Mexico is part of the North American continent. 130 million people, with a popular progressive president and a member of the North American Free Trade Agreement. Mexico is not covered by the Magic Dome and does not want to be. Mexico is not part of NATO. They seem to be a sovereign, independent state and friendly to Canada, by the way. They don't want to, they do not want the dome, and they haven't been offered the dome. Is it possible we could learn something here? Canadians should ask these questions. Organized labor, in the interest of safety and security of Canadians, should interrogate and challenge our business guys. Their narrow Eurocentric view of the world is dangerous. In the words of Bertolt Brecht, those who lead the country into the abyss call ruling too difficult for ordinary people. This is the Taylor Report, CIOT. I think we'll have a little music, probably more of Our Land, Your Land, or any song. It's something that Pedro likes. It's coming up. And we're back. Taylor Report, CIUT. Again, hey, you can still donate to the marvelous station with the great music, CIUT.fm. Donate, mention the Taylor Report. And we got June to keep on keeping on. I have a, really today is, in my view, is a kind of shocking situation. And, well, let's put it this way. You know, you go to bed with there's one problem, and you wake up and there's another. And our media, well, is going to, let's be honest, is going to fail us. And one of the ways everybody gets killed in history is when the media starts misreporting or hyping subjects. But Ukraine made some type of really long-range attack on Russian military facilities. And my understanding is that they are of a type which could lead to bad things, folks. So here's the New York Post, and I got this from Michael Tracy, rather smart observer of matters. I hope he doesn't mind my borrowing the Post. The headline in the New York Post following this attack says, Ukraine wipes out dozens of Russian doomsday nuclear bombers in massive surprise attack on air bases, Kiev says. And then the title, and what they said was, A Russian Pearl Harbor. And so Michael Tracy says, knowing what followed Pearl Harbor, I'm not sure this should be cause for celebration. Think about it. Everybody better start thinking. And here's one of the questions that Michael Tracy puts that helps us. He says, so we're supposed to believe that no one in the sprawling U.S. intelligence apparatus, which plays granular, intricate role in Ukraine war effort, ever received any notification of this massive and unprecedented drone attack on Russian nuclear-capable warplanes. So we're all still here this morning, but I tell you something. You better watch Dr. Strangelove as a documentary. Incidentally, that film was originally designed not as a comedy, but as a straight-up warning of how, in a matter of seconds, somebody that none of us know will have to make a decision which could incinerate everybody, the consequences. And the film shows that. So Tracy's got a very good question. We're completely in a hand-glove situation with the government of Kyiv. And an attack of this type is waged, and without Western input, the attack would not have been possible. And we're forgetting how this situation is viewed by other parties. And when I say other parties, I'm talking about the government of Hungary and the government of Slovakia. It is not just Russia that's talking about this. Slovakia and Hungary are part of NATO. They say they don't want to be drawn into something here which could have really devastating consequences for them. But they're being told, well, you joined the gang and you can't quit. This is why countries have always been advised, if they're strong enough, not to enter into George Washington said were entangling alliances. Because if you get into an alliance with somebody, he gets into a violent match with somebody else, you have to take the consequence. So Hungary, Slovakia, and if Romanians had a chance to actually have democracy, which NATO doesn't want them to have, the European Union doesn't want them to have, they wouldn't be party to this either, because they are what everybody likes to call frontline states. So they could disappear overnight, depending on which way the wind is blowing, which way the armies are advancing. And we should remind everybody that each new war, big ones, is fought different than the last one. The French had the thing called the Maginot Line, and therefore the Germans would never be able to do anything to the French, except it only took them about 20 minutes to take care of the Maginot Line. Maybe they should have said imaginary line. Now we have this thing called the Magic Dome, which invites expression doom. In the film Dr. Strangelove, remember that the magic thing was going to be the doomsday machine. So this is called the Golden Dome. Canada says, oh yes, that's for us. I'm going to go back to my little editorial point. Mexico is not afraid and is not saying we have to have 2% of our gross national product. We have to raise it to 5%, and we have to buy all these things like the F-35, which the F-35 is manufactured and designed and put in use by the U.S. military. And so the U.S. military, according to Donald Trump, might have to one day take care of us. But they say, well, we have to buy their plane, because if we don't, we'll make them unhappy. So there's where you are in the world. if you want to have an independent foreign policy, I have to tell you, yes, you might make the world's number one unhappy. But they don't. But even when they're happy, they seem to not care about the delicate feelings of other countries, starting with Canada. Mexico, again, I want to remind everybody, they are part of North America. They are not part of the dome. The dome is not offered to them, and they have not asked because they want to keep the 130 million people of Mexico safe. And the way they do that is to say, we're independent, we're not part of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. We don't agree with the foreign policy of Washington. We discuss here, oh, we have to diversify our trade. And then everybody says, well, don't include China because that would make the United States angry. See, Mexico actually trades with China without having to say we have to be careful of what Washington thinks. And I'll remind you again that the senator from North Dakota, said, you know, these tariffs we have on you could go away if you would agree to join us in an alliance against China. So in other words, trade is based on not on trade issues, but on hegemonic political power issues. And Canadians ought to be talking about that. It should be discussed in Parliament. It will not, because every politician is afraid. No one wants to be the one who, aroused the Don of Mar-a-Lago into doing something ignorant and damaging. However, we ought to talk, as you used to say, talk turkey to one another, talk frankly. These are our problems. I'm really glad that I attended this forum on trade wars and real wars. And this one in particular is very dangerous. If it's true, and I know Michael Tracy is a good journalist, so he's got it right, that our NATO and U.S. input has created a situation, permitted a situation, in which facilities that are designed for the nuclear defense of Russia have been attacked by someone who is part of our little stable of pals. And that is understood over there as the two of you collaborating, and therefore it's like when a second person enters a fight and says, well, I'm not really, I'm just trying to, I'm facilitating. You don't get to define yourself. Somebody else gets to do that. And they say, if you hit something that I need for my missile and nuclear defense, I will hit you. So, and that's where we are at the moment. And this is not a happy spot. And I know that the Parliament will be full of jingoistic nonsense. But they better watch out because, as I said, the next war is not going to be like the last one. And this business of missiles in space, I'll go back to what the solution is. And trade union people understand this. If you have an opposing party and you disagree, you negotiate, and then you create a document, a contract in the case of unions. It's called a treaty in the case of states. We already have a treaty that bans nuclear weapons and offensive missiles in space. There is such a treaty, but the United States openly talks about throwing that in a trash can. If they throw it in a trash can, China has a space capability, so does Russia. So we move into a realm with no security. There's no treaty. We have to have a treaty. So we should be insisting, where is the treaty to prevent the spread of nuclear weapons and missiles to outer space? And if they think that they can get away with, say, oh, we don't need that, we better say we need a new parliament. We need a parliament that does not applaud people who served in Hitler's armies, which they all did. That's how ignorant. I mean, the problem here is we're like lemmings. We need some questions. One lemming ought to turn to the other lemming and say, how come we're following this guy? That's where we belong. This is the Taylor Report. I think we got maybe a minute. Not even a minute. What do you know? Well, 33, 45, 78 is coming up and going to make you very, very happy. Donate to CIOT.fm and mention the Taylor Report. Thank you, Pedro.